Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
I can't do this. I'll never last.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
I feel like you told me it was realistic.
With Margaret Aples
and Amy Wilson.
This fall is going to be fine.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to.
I can't stroll for 18 months.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Amy.
And this is Margaret. And today we are talking about, oh no, it was supposed to be better by now, and it's totally not. And why are we still stuck in COVID? But before we get to that, we're heading straight for the mailbag.
Mailbag.
So this week's mailbag comes from Randy on Instagram. She says, your recent episode about handling the news with our kids really hit home. When my kids, ages 9 and 11, returned to in-person school, they came home telling me they'd played COVID tag at recess. Instead of somebody being it, the person has COVID, and if you get tagged, you have COVID too. This game horrified me since the pandemic was very real and scary, but the kids were processing the pandemic in their own ways through play. I didn't stop them from playing, and after listening to your episode, I'm so glad you agree that that was the right choice.
Totally the right choice. Yeah. We were talking on our episode about how kids process grief and trauma through play and how that can be really challenging for us as adults because it seems irreverent, I think, is the problem. And so great job on letting them play COVID tag. They're working it out.
Guess what they'll be playing this fall?
Yeah, back to COVID tag. Delta tag is coming up, as it turns out. COVID tag has mutated into Delta tag.
This is the, not that I need to tell anybody, but just to acknowledge, this will mark the third school year for our children that is affected in some way by COVID. Third one.
If I may define the problem as we begin, Amy, I believe that we want to be done with COVID and COVID doesn't want to be done with us.
That's right.
Especially for those of us who have unvaccinated kids. I will say right at the beginning that Amy and I are vaccine believers. We are both fully vaccinated, yep, and all of our eligible children are fully vaccinated because we believe the vaccines work.
Can I quote Cody from Peloton?
Sure.
I am vaxxed, waxed, and relaxed. I'm two out of the three.
You miss one and we can guess. Well, I think I'm only one of the three, frankly. I'm missing at least two of those. We keep waiting for like mommy and daddy from the sky, from the government, from the guidelines to tell us what to do and when it's going to be okay. I will quote to you from the Boston Globe article entitled Pandemic is a War on Many Fronts and We're Not Unified in the Fight.
No.
That ends with the dispiriting phrase, it is unrealistic to expect a new virus strain to be conquered in a mere year and a half. To which I respond, now you tell me. I feel like you told me it was realistic.
Here's my hot take on this whole thing right now. We are all forgetting, or I should say many of us seem to be forgetting, that the enemy here is the virus. it's not the mean woman who wants you to wear a mask in her restaurant. It's not the school that said one thing and now they're maybe saying something else. And it's not even the Facebook friends saying crazy stuff.
It's not the Facebook thread with your friends from high school.
No, the enemy is the virus. And if, you know, things are now changing and feeling like they're sliding downhill a little bit, which they do to me, that I'm trying not to lose sight of. Yeah, the bad guy is not the mayor. The bad guy is coronavirus.
Yes, I agree. But I will also say that I think it's extremely natural when you feel a tremendous amount of frustration. When I feel a tremendous amount of frustration with the way my life is going, I yell at my husband. Like, your anger just comes out towards
him. It is his fault.
It's very realistic, but I appreciate your perspective that it's not correct.
Yes.
But I also think, like, I see you if you're doing it, and that's okay.
It's human nature.
Amy, let us define right now the problems that we are facing right now. I was doing some research on this morning and looking at a bunch of different things. And it was the phrase that pays, Amy, in this morning's research. Continuing uncertainty.
Uh-huh.
That seems to be the theme, right?
Yes.
Like, the one thing we know we have is continuing uncertainty.
We fell for it because, like, we had done so much talking, you and I had done so much inner work on, you know, getting comfortable with uncertainty.
Sure.
But then I totally fell for it. Like, yeah, but this fall is going to be fine. We did it.
I'm going to say we did get Lucy in the football with this bad boy, you know, because
yes,
I feel like once the vaccines came out, it was like, it's over. It's over. And it's definitely Fatal Attraction long enough ago that I think I can give it a spoiler alert and an oldie lux alert.
Back in my day,
it's definitely Glenn Close in the bathtub. Oh, she's definitely dead this time. Nope. She's got a knife and she's back again.
We've all watched horror movies. How did we not see this?
How did we not know this? Fool me 8,000 times. Shame on me, Amy.
Won't get fooled again, right?
Oh, no, you will. You will. Guess what? Spoiler alert. You're fooled again.
I thought the last hard thing I was going to have to do in this endless time was get vaccinated, right? Like, it was drag that sled over the finish line with my family members on it and my parents and everything. Once we all got vaccinated, the end. And, you know, it's more the end if you are vaccinated, but you see what I'm saying? It's like, not so fast.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
Well, here's a problem that is enduring. I have heard often that one thing that is extremely mentally taxing is a situation that has a boring sameness and a tremendous amount of, like, violent uncertainty, basically. So, like, that's war, right? 98% of war is sitting around.
Wow.
2% of it is deadly danger.
Is run for your life. Okay.
Being a fireman is that way, right? Like, 90% of it is sitting around being bored, and then 10% of it is deadly danger.
Yes.
And that both sides of that equation are very wearing.
That makes sense.
And I think that's what we've been dealing with. Because the boredom is an anticipatory dread boredom. It's not like regular boredom where maybe you're relaxed. You're not. You're anticipating the deadly terror, you know? I think that that is what has made this endless uncertainty particularly mentally taxing.
You're so right. There isn't a, like, ay-ay-ay energy to this now that we very much did not have in March 2020, right? I was feeling a lot of things, but it wasn't like, ugh, another day. And now we have bad energy.
We're beaten down and yet still incredibly frightened and stressed. It's a bad combination. And that's why I got to give it back to Cody. We may be vaxxed, but we are not waxed, and we are definitely not relaxed.
It made me sad because I was doing my Cody Peloton ride, and it was from like 6 weeks ago. Sometimes when you ride the bike, it's like, ride this one.
It seemed better then.
And it made me think about this episode we were getting ready to record today. It was early June, and he was like, hot girl summer, y'all. Everybody's going to make out with whoever they want. He just was setting up. We were drinking a different frosty beverage in June than we are now in terms of, like, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah. And now we're just hearing this sad trombone of womp womp. Schools are just starting to open up across the South. We are dealing with guidelines that are very different depending on where you live. And people having very different ideas about the virus depending on where you live. And again, we've run this track before and it's exhausting.
The mask mandate's like, not in our school. You won't make kids wear masks. I mean, different people have different experiences, but the buy-in from the little kids on the masks, and even my big kids on the masks, in my household, it's very like, oh, okay, all right. They know how to do it. They've gotten used to doing it. my kids would much rather wear masks and be in school than, you know, have their freedom and attend classes over Zoom. I think the kids are more okay. They're not happy about wearing masks, but they'll do it. Like, their cooperation and the mask's effectiveness in schools sort of played out pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, pro mask. I just took a 4-hour flight and I was annoyed to put the mask on. I'm not going to lie. Right. I was like, and it is like for the first couple of minutes, you're like, and then 3 hours in, you just don't remember it's on your face. I mean, it's not the best, but come on.
It's like our journey through the pandemic. It occurs to me like the first couple of minutes you have the mask on, you're like, I can't do this. I'll never last.
And then you reach dull, dreadful acceptance, you know?
Right. I know how to do this.
And the tremendous problem of a lot of the stuff we're dealing with is that people do have tremendous COVID fatigue, right? They want to be done. I also think the line moved. I don't believe in COVID like I did last March.
What do you mean?
Even though I'm much more lax about it than I was last March, even though I have 2 unvaccinated kids.
Oh, right. Exactly. Like the case levels when we were like, nobody move for 2 weeks, you know, stay inside, were actually lower then than they are now.
I'm right now traveling with my kids to a place that is not great with numbers. And it's a decision that I realize I would not have made last March. I would have in a million years. And nothing has really changed. In that it's changed, it might have gotten a little worse. And COVID doesn't know that my kids haven't had it. COVID doesn't know that we've been really careful for 1.5 years, so it would be really unfair for one of them to get it. You know what I mean?
Well,
but my mind is doing that trick.
I mean, I just talked the other night to a nurse. I was standing around at a family party and she said, yeah, COVID's coming back. And we talked about how things have changed. Like, there are things they can do to treat COVID patients better. They've learned things along the way that make it maybe case for case a little bit more successful. In March 2020, it was sort of, if your lips turn blue, go to the hospital, but maybe not even then. And good luck, everybody. That was really scary.
I feel like what we're establishing is that here we are again. Is this right? We don't know. We read some things, but we don't know. I think when we get back, we should talk a little bit about, okay, where are we right now? And what are the choices that we are facing? And how are we going to try to make those decisions in a smart way?
Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value. Margaret, I've been at the research again, looking into metabolic health and, more importantly, metabolic flexibility, which turns out is the key to improved energy levels, better sleep, better fitness, all the things. And I found out about all this because we got a chance to try Lumen, the first handheld device that helps you manage your metabolic health.
Lumen works when you breathe into it. If you do that first thing in the morning or after a workout, Lumen measures your metabolism by measuring the amount of carbon dioxide in your breath. It's science, people. That lets you see exactly what's going on in your body in real time.
Then you use Lumen's app to get tailored guidance to improve your sleep, your nutrition, even stress management. If you're interested in figuring out the effects of different sorts of foods on your body, Lumen is a really cool way to see what's actually happening as your body burns different fuel sources.
If you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me and use Fresh to get $100 off your Lumen.
That is lumen.me, lumen.me, and use the code Fresh at checkout for $100 off.
Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
So we're talking about how to sort of, you know, handle this moment. I've been in and out of New York City this summer, and it's interesting to be from New York City because whenever you go somewhere else, they're like, how are things in New York City? Right. That's the first thing everybody wants to know, that it's like this zombie wasteland of, you know, hospital gurneys.
Right.
It's very much not that. It's still different than usual. There are fewer taxis. There are a few people in Times Square, you know, whatever. It's not that different. What is different is the mask buy-in, that people have masks on walking down the street in New York City. There are people who are vaccinated. There are people who aren't. But we all learned our lesson from that first scary time. And people wear masks. What I really wanted to say is we're nimble about, like, you go in the dry cleaner, you put the mask on. You come back out, you take it off. You get in the subway, you put the mask on. You know, you sit down at the table, you take it off. That part of it seems to me how we're going to approach this next phase. Like, you know, you don't need a mask on 100% of the time, but it's not zero either. So have a mask in your pocket. Who cares? That's sort of the New York way of doing things. And I think that's helpful.
Yeah. I will say, though, right now I'm in Texas. And let me tell you, that is not the Texas way of doing things.
No, I know. Yeah.
The Texas way of doing things is much more like give someone a very mean look for wearing a mask in the store that you happen to be in. I just saw Roxane Gay, you know, the writer, and she was saying on Twitter, she was like, everything I say can only represent the edges of my own experience. So if you don't see yourself validated within that, it doesn't invalidate you. It's just like, I can't speak to every experience with everything I speak to. And gosh, is this that way? You know, it's like, well, it's this, but not where I live, but not with my parents, but not with my high school friends, but not with, I was looking back at the green, yellow, red chart. These are safe activities in the green. Take a walk outside, you know, and the green activities are always kind of like, go for a stroll.
I did that already.
I can't stroll for 18 months. I already strolled. No more strolling. And then the yellow activities are like, eat outside with a group of people. And then the red activities are
hot back summer. Yeah.
You know, everything you actually want to do, you know, go inside, go to a concert, hot girl summer. That's a red activity. What's changed when you look at that is that that used to be everybody. That applied to everybody. Now it applies to a mystery unidentified group, because when you're fully vaccinated, the right side is all green. But when you're not vaccinated, the left side is some green, some red, some yellow. And the problem is, in my family, we are a family of five and two of us are not vaccinated. So
right.
It's like you can't pick and choose in the categories. We all have to be in the category of red.
And can we talk about that for a second? I think we're being put in a really untenable situation. Parents who have kids under 12, you know, who are not vaccinated or who are not vaccinated for other reasons, but it's, you know, not your choice. That our kids are being asked to wear masks, but we're not. And it's really, really complicated. And I think that the kids are being left out of the equation in a way. When you hear a lot of people talking about what you should do and you shouldn't do, and if people are unvaccinated, well, that's their problem. It's like, well, what about the kids? I feel like there's a lot of people without kids under 12 making a lot of proclamations on what people should and shouldn't do and just leaving them out of the equation in a totally weird way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was looking at to prep for the episode at the CDC current guidelines, and that's constantly changing too. But the basic guidelines from the CDC, get the vaccine, doesn't apply to people under 12.
Right.
Wear a mask indoors, even if you are vaccinated. So now we're back to masks all around, please. And then resume travel. If you are vaccinated, everything is like, do this, but you can't, when you're me, choose from column one and column two. You are stuck with, I have to act like I'm unvaccinated because my kids can't do anything with me.
I almost feel like that's like your kids are in church and they have to have a mask on. Like, okay, I'm going to put a mask on too. Like, it's not fair to like go do something fun. Well, kids, you have to wear a mask. I don't though, right? But then of course, adults wearing masks, it's a signifier of 18 things. And now if I'm walking around New York City, I have been asked by the people who live in my apartment building, people who have unvaccinated children, can everybody please wear a mask in the lobby and elevators because there are kids who aren't vaccinated yet in the building. A totally reasonable request, I think. You don't have to do it. Nobody's making you do it. Can you do it? But me wearing a mask now is like, I'm a vax denier, or like, I'm a crazy person who thinks we'll never be safe. It means stuff and you don't intend it to. I want it to be like, I'm in solidarity with my 3-year-old nephew over here. But you see what I'm saying? Like, we're assigning all these secondary ideas and motivations to people based on whether they're wearing masks or not, when I think it should stop judging what other people are doing or thinking based on whether or not they're wearing a mask, because we don't know, but I don't know how we're going to get there.
Yeah, we're not going to get there. Absolutely not. Like, this has become wildly
political and identity based, I think like, let's all, you know, stop judging each other has gone way out the window. Like that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so I have come around to the other side of the equation, which is, as for me and my house, we will follow the guidelines, you know? And so as I have been traveling in Texas, I had to take some deep breaths to get right with myself and say, this is what we are and aren't going to do. And these things are not negotiable to me. And I know that I am going to confront people who think I'm crazy and that this is an exercise for me in doing what is right for me, no matter what other people think of me. And I'm back to that. And I'm bummed. That was another part I didn't like about the pandemic. I don't like to make a family trip plan and then call people I don't know and say, are you vaccinated? Because if not, I will not come there. I mean, I don't want to do that. It's not fun for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the feeling of saying, we are having a gathering. Please do not attend if you are not vaccinated, because I know people who are not vaccinated and I think it's going to hurt their feelings. And I think they're going to think I'm targeting them. But I have made a decision that until my children are vaccinated, this is how we are going to live. And so I am the vacation police, where every time someone suggests something, I have to be the person to say, gosh, that does sound fun. But unfortunately, we're not going to do that because it's indoors with strangers. And so I literally wrote down before we started to travel, we are not to be indoors with strangers. We are not to be indoors with anyone we don't know, period. And if we are indoors with people we do know, I have asked them if they're vaccinated. That's what makes me comfortable at this stage of the pandemic. I reject the premise that we're going to all get along and see eye to eye on this. And so I'm just going to mama bear through it and be like, this is what we've decided. If you want to talk about how crazy I am behind my back, please do so. If you want to talk about how crazy I am to my face, please don't do so. Please talk about me behind my back. But basically, this is what we're doing. And that's all I can do.
You know what this reminds me of? That idea that when your kids have a play date at somebody else's house, that you as a parent are supposed to say, do you have unsecured handguns in the home? Just ask the tough question. And I, you know, agreed with that in principle. And I did that like never in my life. This is much more likely. So like, you know, several times recently, I have not asked that question. I've made the assumption and found out later that I spent time inside with somebody who wasn't vaccinated, which would not have been my choice. Because I do spend time with children under 12.
In your defense, we're tired. This is the problem. Like,
yeah.
Do we want to keep up? I feel like we were so vigilant for so long. I get it. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to think about this anymore. Listen, COVID in its own way has been better and worse than I expected. You know what I mean? Like, it hasn't torn through and devastated whole communities of people with these vast amounts of deaths. It's a 1 to 2% death rate, as they predicted. Okay, my chances of surviving it are okay. But realistically, at the same time, you don't want to get it. And this whole thing has been an exercise, right? In like, can I hold these opposing thoughts in my head at the same time? And it's hard. It's challenging.
In order to like put one foot in front of the other and keep going, you do start to say, well, 600,000 deaths, you know, it's not that bad, right?
No, I don't say 600,000 deaths. It's not that bad.
I'm not saying you're doing anything bad. I'm saying you have to rationalize like, well, it isn't as bad as we thought it would be, because of course it could have been worse. I mean, like that's a human impulse, but it could be worse, but I'm still safe from it kind of, you know, to find the it could be worse exit.
I think that what I'm trying to say about it is that the problem is there are no right answers. And that's what we've said about it from the very beginning. Your chances of getting it and surviving it are really good. But you could also get it and not survive it. Your chances of your kid getting it and surviving it are good. But also, I mean, this is the problem. It's just hard to find solid ground with any of the choices we're trying to make.
Well, there's a judgment that I think a lot of people make too. Like, well, if you get it and you weren't vaccinated, then, you know, I don't know why I should feel sorry for you. I don't know why my health insurance should pay for it. There's that.
Sure.
Right? And there's also, if you get it, you'll be fine because you're not one of these people that have these underlying conditions. And
right.
You were unhealthy anyway. You smoked too much. So I don't really feel sorry for you if you got COVID. I'll be fine if I get COVID. And that is not true. Underlying conditions can definitely make it worse. But I mean, I have personal experience of this. And I've seen these stories over and over and over again. Somebody from their hospital bed, like, I'm a 24-year-old and I'm healthy. And now I have had a liver transplant. It just seems to just get some people by the throat.
Where we keep coming back to on COVID is you need to spend some time thinking about and outlining your ideas about it and what your choices around it are. And then you need to set boundaries around that. And then you need to enforce those boundaries. There is no magic box of COVID answers out there that is going to make it clear what's going on. Mm-hmm. Now, on top of that, we have to make a different set of choices around our kids. And I think we should talk about that as soon as we get back.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SportsResearch, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting Podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
And now, your guide to the COVID guidelines.
From the What Fresh Health Podcast.
Please remember that as we face the rise of the Delta variant of COVID-19, it is more important than ever to follow the guidelines.
Please note, guidelines have been updated to reflect the most current possible information.
Please also note, however, that this information is currently in a state of flux, and therefore the guidelines will update periodically as our knowledge evolves.
So be guided by the guidelines, but also remember that the guidelines may be out of date each time you encounter them.
So it is your job to consult the evolving guidelines
and then follow them rigorously.
Local guidelines, that is. The guidelines you should be following are your local guidelines.
Guidelines in other localities may vary. Yeah, like even one town over, the guidelines could be significantly different than your guidelines. That's just the way it is.
Follow your local guidelines.
At all times. Unless the guidelines are updated, of course.
There may be times that you see contrasting information in the guidelines. That is because the guidelines are in a state of constant flux.
And why you should follow only the most current guidelines.
Which may not reflect changing variables.
Should you plan a birthday in September? You'll have to consult the September guidelines for that. Those should be ready in September, or slightly later.
Should you send your kid to school? These questions will be addressed in the school readiness in a time of Delta guidelines, which we hope to have available, like maybe the day before school starts, if we're lucky.
Based on what we know at that time, which could definitely change.
Until that, remember, please follow the guidelines.
It's that simple.
This has been your guide to COVID guidelines.
From the What Fresh Health Podcast.
Okay, we're back. Amy,
We had a Facebook thread about what is challenging about this, and I thought it was really useful. The original post said, "We are coming up to the dreaded first day of daycare for my kids age 2 and 4. They are going to get sick like crazy, and I know it. But is there anything I can do to help minimize it? We are teaching hand washing. They are up to date on vaccines. I am starting nursing school, and if I miss class, I fail the program." This is the kind of dilemma that so many moms are facing this September, which is, here we go again, except for maybe with less masking and less overall defense against COVID. I had one of my kids in camp this summer, and he suffers from migraines. He would get a migraine, and then before being allowed back in camp, and this is fine, I'm not criticizing them, he would have to test negative for COVID.
Yeah.
And two big problems with that. Number one, he would have to get a note from his doctor clearing him, or he would have to test negative for COVID. The test is free where I am, and I don't know how long that will be true. To go to my doctor is $60 because that's my copay. If I want to just go get him cleared to go back the next day, usually the COVID test isn't back by then. So I have to go to his doctor, and then I'm out $60 every time he gets a migraine. It's expensive, it's stressful, and it's really a nightmare.
And so at some point you're going to be like, you don't have a headache, it's fine.
Right. So it forces you into the unintended consequences of don't sniffle at school. Just pretend you're not sick. And then I don't want to be that person who sends my kid to school with COVID, but it kind of forces you in there. I don't have $300 a month to see the doctor every time he gets a migraine.
There's a really dangerous traffic intersection right near my house, and it's two busy streets in New York City that go together and the entrance to a major subway station. So they all come together at this one intersection. It is a very dangerous intersection. People are constantly jaywalking, and they don't want people to jaywalk, but then they timed the lights and realized, like, if you didn't get across the street in time, people we're going to have to wait up to 2.5 minutes to be able to cross the street. Nobody's going to wait two. Like,
right.
So you're going to have jaywalking. So people are going to run out. Like, you're encouraging bad decisions when it's that onerous. So, right. Causing $60 every time you have a migraine in your house is going to lead to you, the hypothetical you, not reporting the symptoms the next time.
Yeah, not the hypothetical me, the real me. It's going to lead to the real me doing that.
Or, like, you know, I'll fess up. The temperature theater we all had to do, like, you have to fill out their temperature every day. There was, you know, more than one day that I was like, 98.6, they're already gone. They're fine. And the problem for people whose kids are in daycare and who are in nursing school and they can't miss is that if one kid has COVID, the school's going to be shut down for 2 weeks. That sort of Damocles hanging over your head that you might need at any point to shut everything down and become your kid's, you know, only caregiver for 2 weeks is really hard. And a third year of that seems unthinkable.
And unlike a lot of the stuff we talk about on the podcast, so I'm like, if you've got a first grade teacher giving your kid 2 hours of homework, refuse to do it. I'm fine with that. That's the solution to that. Go talk to them, make a deal and say, my first grader's not doing 2 hours of homework because they're being ridiculous. In this situation, there is no, oh, the other side is being ridiculous. The other side is trying to keep a classroom of 20 kids safe, and they can't have people sending sick kids in. And so if your kid goes home sick, you need to prove to them it's not COVID. I get both sides of it. That's the problem.
Right. The enemy is COVID. The enemy is not the restriction. The enemy is not the daycare.
There you go. It's back to your original point. Like, the enemy isn't, like, stupid teacher who's so small-minded.
Right.
Because, listen, I would love to find a villain in this, but you're right. The villain is COVID and making it so complicated. I think we have to be as proactive as possible while realizing that there really is no, like, checkbox solution. I think that the first thing that you can do is make a plan. In the case of your kids, before the fall, it is time to think about backup care. Who do you have who can step in and watch your kids for you? Do you have a mom? Do you have a Facebook moms group where you can go and say, I need backup daycare for my kids, and I have this much of a budget to do it. Is anyone willing to take my kids on the day that they're sick?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the other problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
They're sick. People don't want to be around sick kids.
And all of our immune systems are completely hampered and have gone to zero because we wear masks.
Exactly. And so, I mean, there's no way to make this facile, but I do think finding people
who you can lean on to be backups for your kids. I have older kids and I sometimes will have phone backups for my kids. So my oldest is 12 and I will leave them at home by themselves. And I have a person who is my phone backup so that they can call a neighbor who can come over to check on them. You cannot do that with a 2 and a 4-year-old. I get it. But I mean, you got to get as creative as possible with what is the solution to the fact that my kid is going to get sick at school. I mean, do the hand washing, do the masking, do everything you possibly can. But
right.
Your kid is going to get sick at school. So then what?
Right.
And there's no easy answer, but you got to figure out something. I think preemptive planning and conversations is the best thing you can do with this. And maybe it's sitting down with the person who runs the program or having a conversation with your boss. I mean, Amy and I work for ourselves, but even we sit down together and say, this summer's going to be a mess. Like, let's work out our program. Can we record 2 episodes in a week so that we don't have to worry about getting in a recording while I'm trying to take my kid to school, whatever it happens to be. I think the more you can plan in advance, that is right. Literally your only defense. And I can hear people saying, but yes, you're going to hit a million buts. It's not going to be perfect, but
yeah.
You're a lot better off thinking about it a month ahead than thinking about it the morning it happens. That's all you can really do. The other thing I would recommend is establishing a really good relationship with a doctor, with your pediatrician. I now have a doctor who understands my kid's migraine symptoms so that I don't have to go for an office visit when he has a migraine, because I can call the office and say he is nauseous, he has pain in his left eye, and he is seeing spots. And she says, that's not COVID, that's a migraine, and she will write him a note. And so I solved the problem.
Yeah. I actually did this with my daughter's grade school because she's also a migraine sufferer and had symptoms of long COVID still during the last school year. And we had to have in place somebody else you need to make friends with, the school nurse.
Another really good person to do this.
Yeah. Right? Lead with, oh my gosh, I can't believe what this must be like for you. Right? End with, thank you. But yes, this school nurse who has known my daughter since she was 3, and I and the other school nurse, because now there, of course, have to be 2 school nurses because it's become such an overwhelming job. Anyway, they knew that if she was saying like that she was having some chest pain or whatever one day, that was not a sign of a new COVID infection. It was not a sign that the school had to be shut down. And you have to run things out. I had to get some letters from doctors and stuff. But yeah, there are things you can do to keep your kids healthy and in school besides, you know, not exactly telling anybody when they have the sniffles. You can be more forthcoming about it, I guess.
I think that's right. And I think you just have to work with what you've got. And also, I think with the school issue, if your school does not have a mask mandate, you can still send your kid to school in a mask. You can have a conversation with your kid that says, as for me and my house, this is what we are doing. And that's not a terrible life lesson for kids anyway. You are going to confront this a million times in your life where people think you are dumb for wanting to wear that shirt that you think is groovy and everyone else thinks is dumb, for wanting to do something at work that is really innovative but is not what your boss wants. Whatever it is, this is life. One of my kids said, how was your day? He said, there were parts of it that were good and parts of it that were bad. And I said, kid, welcome to life. There are parts of it that are good and parts of it that are bad. And I think we come back to the theme of, you know, don't miss the lessons here. Like, the biggest lesson for me as a person who likes to, you know, as is the reason I do the podcast, figure stuff out, get to the bottom of it and find solutions. Being challenged by many things in the last couple of years that I realized I really did not control the outcome of has been really challenging to me, but not all bad.
The thing I will say, too, about the kids with masks in school is I think we were talking before about how walking down the street wearing a mask is a signifier and it means all these things and it's stupid and we're ascribing motivations. And I don't think kids do that in the same way. At least I hope that they don't. They don't where I live. If your kid is wearing a mask at school and somebody else isn't, they're not going to be like, that kid thinks that I don't, you know, consume news from the proper sources, whatever. Like,
right.
They just put it on.
They're not layering all this stuff in it.
They're not layering this, your mask is really about me and making me second guess stuff, which makes me feel angry. They just put the mask on, they put it on. And then, as you said, it might get harder when you're in a situation where it's like, masks are bad, and you're like, but not for our family. I can see that being more complicated. But I also would hope that in those situations, the other 4-year-olds aren't really thinking about it. They're mask natives, if you know what I mean. They've grown up with them around.
Absolutely. And it is one of my biggest
North Stars in life that you can only control yourself. And I say that to my kids a billion times, but this teacher was unfair. Okay, but you can only control yourself. So if you overreacted and yelled at her, now you're in trouble. Like, control yourself. I don't care what other people do. COVID is super challenging that way because what other people do directly affects you. But the bottom line is you still can't control them. You can't make them believe in the vaccine. You can't make them wear a mask. So it still does come down a little bit to like, what can you do to protect yourself, to feel as safe as possible, and to keep your mental health sane? And for me, that is making the best possible next right decision.
It's not something to be mad at each other about. We're taking it out on each other, but that the rules are changing, that the information is different. Like, yeah, COVID's sneaky like that.
Yeah, and it's definitely not something to be mad at each other about, but I think in 18 months, I've come to accept we're going to do that, though, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you that we should let all that stuff go, but we're not going to. That's what I've figured out right at this point.
Well, I can let all that stuff go, right? But
you can let it go. And I can let go of overreacting to it and kind of caring what people think. And I can just say, we're going to wear our masks. And that's what we're doing. And, you know, glare at me all you want. But oh, well. We're dealing with Amy. We like to say solved it. I was going to say, I think we're good. I mean, I think that we know what it's about. I'm sorry that we're still doing this. It's a drag. You really bummed me out when you said third school year with COVID. That was a bummer.
It's a drag. That's right.
We are getting through it. And that's the good thing, I think.
Yeah. Let's do what we can to keep them in school this year, right?
Oh, please, 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 please. I just don't want to hear the word Zoom. That's where I'm going to draw the line, people.
We have merchandise available at bit.ly/whatfreshmerch, all lowercase. You can also go to our website, whatfreshoutpodcast.com. And there's a link in the sidebar. Get yourself, you know, a little pick me up. Little something.
I have an Oldie Locks shirt that makes me very happy to wear.
Yeah, I have a sweatshirt. It's really good. Heavy. It's nice quality.
I ran into someone wearing my toddler purgatory shirt and they were like, oh, what fresh hell are you, Margaret? And I was like, yes, I am. And it helps you identify other What Fresh Hell listeners in the wild, which I think is very useful.
I know.
Love it.
I haven't met one yet. I'm looking forward to it.
I know. You have to wear your merch at all times, Amy.
Yeah. All right. I will.
All right. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening.
Talk to you next week, guys.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.